Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good morning, Tony.
Peter, good morning.
I scheduled a man cave meetup for, this coming week. So check out the times and the day of the week that we're going to be doing. It's a beautiful morning at Cocoa Beach. We're reading from the Catholic Catechism, Catechism of the Catholic Church. And we have a quote here from John Paul II, Pope John Paul II. Catechesis is an education in the faith of children, young people, and adults, which includes especially the teaching of Christian doctrine, imparted, generally speaking, in an organic and systemic way, with a view to initiating the hearers into the fullness of Christian life. I'm not sure what he means by organic, but I kind of think it's what we're doing. In other words, we're just doing it. We have the catechism in front of us. We have that full range of Catholic teaching, fullness of the faith, and we're just doing it. So this is what catechesis is, what we're doing right now. And it's meant for pastors, priests to be catechized. It's meant for adults to be catechized. It's meant to have children be catechized by their parents. That's right, Mark. We don't know when he'll come. We don't know what the hour is or what the day is. See, someone just said thank you for your prayers, but I didn't see Hope Tony. Aloha, Tony. And it's meant to bring us with a view to initiating the hearers into the fullness of Christian life. So why just be coming to the banquet table, with a tiny little plate, like when you go into the Delta Sky Lounge? It gave you the littlest plate so that you don't eat too much. You should be bringing you're coming to a buffet when you come to the Catholic Church. So why not receive the fullness of Christian life? Hey Ray, Raymond, I hope you get to attend our Zoom video chat meetup for the Bears Man Cave this coming week. Be good to get to know you. Kat, hey, where are you today, Pat, by the way? Somewhere in Kentucky, maybe? I don't know what your route is. Catechesis, while not formally identified with them, catechesis is built on a certain number of elements of the church's pastoral mission, which have a catechetical aspect that prepare for catechesis or spring from it. They are the initial proclamation of the gospel or missionary preaching to arouse faith. Man, you're already back in Indiana? Wow. Examination of the reasons for belief. Experience of Christian living. Celebration of the sacraments. Integration into the ecclesial community and apostolic and missionary witness. This integration into the ecclesial community is what I see a lot of these days. There's a lot of Lone Ranger Christians out there who really love the Lord, but they're just kind of doing it on their own. They're not part of a church. And we're meant to be part of the body of Christ through self-donation and through receiving, especially as Catholics, to receive the sacraments. Catechesis, let's see, where are we again? I think I should keep my finger right here. And apostolic and missionary witness. Catechesis is intimately bound up with the whole of the church's life. Not only her geographical extension and numerical increase, but even more her inner growth and correspondence with God's plan depend essentially on catechesis. Where are we right now in the world? Where are we right now in God's plan? Knowing your faith and be and allowing your conscience to be formed by your faith. You know, we have an inner instinct to do right, but of course, man has a fallen nature. So often our consciences are misinformed; they're not formed properly, and so we think it's good to kill a baby in order to make the mother's life more convenient. You know, so many other illustrations of like that in our society today. People who are pro-abortion think they're being compassionate. It's just misguided and misinformed. For example, periods of renewal in the church are also intense moments of catechesis. In the great era of the fathers of the church, saintly bishops devoted an important part of their ministry to catechesis. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem and Saint John Chrysostom, Saint Ambrose and Saint Augustine, and many other fathers wrote catechetical works that remain models for us. Love all these the early church fathers. You know, I love to read the early church fathers. It seems like it's you get to look behind, like being a fly on the wall, and seeing what was really going on. And it really helps you appreciate, you know, our faith. It helps you understand the genesis of it and how it all was revealed and figured out using, of course, reason and faith. That this catechism is not like any other really book you'll ever read, because the Catholic approach to faith is that reason and faith go together. You can't have just faith, and you can't have just reason. You need them both. It's like the two wings, as St. Paul said. The ministry of catechesis draws ever fresh energy from the councils. The Council of Trent is a noteworthy example of this. It gave catechesis priority in its constitutions and decrees. And I have that big volume I showed you earlier of the Trent Council of Trent's catechism, which we're going to read from on most Fridays. It lies at the origin of the Roman Catechism, which is also known by the name of that council, and which is a work of the first rank as a summary of Christian teaching. I think that's a good question for us all to reflect on, Tony. Maybe others, maybe in our comments, we can talk about that. Why is it as such a tragedy when a young person dies? Mark, good to have you back. Good to see you. Are you back in Florida? When I asked you last time, I don't think I got your answer. Or are you still serving the Lord over there in Guyana? Anyway, at any rate, we'll see you in a few weeks for the cruise. The Council of Trent, you know, which was a response to the Protestant, I don't know why you want to call it a Reformation, but the Protestant schism. The Council of Trent responded to a lot of the false teaching that was brought forth there. The Council of Trent initiated a remarkable organization of the Church's catechesis. Thanks to the works of the holy bishops and theologians such as St. Peter Canisius, St. Charles Borromeo, St. Terebus of Mongrovio, and St. Robert Bellarmine, it occasioned the publication of numerous catechisms. And you know, this catechism is built on the same pattern as the Council of Trent. It is therefore no surprise that catechesis in the church has again attracted attention in the wake of the Second Vatican Council, which Pope Paul VI considered the great catechism of modern times. The General Catechetical Directory, the sessions of the Synod of Bishops devoted to evangelization in 74, the catechesis in 77, the apostolic exhortations Evangelii Nuntiandi and Catechesis Trudendi attest to this. So this is all back in the 70s. The extraordinary Synod of Bishops in 1985 asked that a catechism or compendium of all Catholic doctrine regarding both faith and morals be composed, and that's this. The Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, made the Synod's wish his own, acknowledging that this desire wholly corresponds to a real need of the universal church and of the particular churches. He set in motion everything needed to carry out the Synod's father's wishes. And so Pope Benedict Emeritus became his he became the primary, it was primarily his Kuleana to gather people together and develop his catechism. So it's brilliant, brilliant minds devoted to faith and reason. The aim intended readership and intended readership of this catechism. Hold on, I think I got to sip a cup of coffee. By the way, how many here are having coffee right now? I'm curious. Mother Angelica. This catechism aims at presenting an organic synthesis of the essential and fundamental concepts of Catholic doctrine. And Catholic, of course, means universal, as regards both faith and morals. But in this case, by the way, the Catholic is with a capital C, meaning our communion of faith. As regards both faith and morals, we have to talk about both of them. You know, love without truth is just mushiness. Truth without without love can be just judgmentalism. We need both. This catechism aims at preventing an organic synthesis of the essential and fundamental contents of Catholic doctrine as regards both faith and morals. In the light of the Second Vatican Council and the whole of the Church's tradition, that's Church's tradition, T with a capital T. Remember, for those who believe that you only believe what the Bible says, or it's the Bible that was canonized by the Catholic Church, the Church who chose which books should be in and which books shouldn't be, although Luther kicked out four or five books. The Church is taught right in the Scriptures. Paul said, that's what I've written to you and that which I've spoken to you. Hold fast to the traditions that I've taught you, so that not all of the practices of the early church and the teachings of the early church were necessarily written down in Scripture. And why is that? Because we're not a church based on a book like Islam is. We're a faith based on the body of Christ. God wanted the church to be a living, vibrant organ, right? The body of Christ. He wanted that to be handed down from person to person, not just by reading a book. I don't know how I communicate this to you. It's like Christianity is caught more than it's taught. I guess you need both. But God didn't want you to just say, here's a book, go isolate yourself on a hill someplace, and you'll know all that you need to know. He really, truly did intend that there be people passing on the faith to people. And we call that in the Catholic Church tradition with a capital T, meaning that is part of our faith, whether or not it's fully shown in Scripture. It certainly would never contradict Scripture. And in fact, it enlivens and brings to life our meaning of Scripture. So the Lord wanted there to be a church. You know, we know that Jesus was a technon. He was a builder. People keep saying carpenter, but really technon means builder. And if you've ever been to Israel, you know everything's built out of rock. There's only one wooden house really in Israel, and that's the prime minister's house. But at any rate, how can I say this? The church is teaching the truth of Jesus was meant to be passed on. Did Jesus write a book? No. You know, his apostles did, his disciples did. But did Jesus write a book? No. He's not like Muhammad. Muhammad wrote a book. Jesus didn't. He gathered people around him. He spoke to them. He taught them. He was an example to them. He infused them with his power and grace and said, now go change the world. So we need to have the Scriptures, and we need to have the tradition. How do we apply this? What does these Scriptures really mean? How does this Scripture and that Scripture that seem to have some tension between them reveal a deeper truth when you're exposed to the tradition of the church? It's just so funny that you would reject the teaching of the church that brought you the Bible. It's almost like some people think the Bible just fell out of the sky and just miraculously appeared, and whatever is in there, we should just do what it says. Well, that's what Zwingli and Luther said. If you remember, within 2 years of the Reformation, they were at odds with one another because they both had different interpretations of Scripture. They said the Bible is easy to understand and the Holy Spirit can teach anyone the truths of Scripture, but they were at odds with one another. I was on a cruise ship a year ago, I guess it was in Greece, not quite a year ago, doing our St. Paul pilgrimage, and there was a man there saying he was a Church of Christ member, I think it was. He said, we only do what the Bible says. We just look at the Bible and we do what it says. And then, but obviously they do what their interpretation of what the Bible says. So with the Catholic Church, in the Protestantism, basically everybody's their own pope. Everybody's their own magisterium. In the Catholic Church, we look at 2,000 years of tradition of how Scripture should be interpreted and applied. So that's kind of what it comes down to. So many people that become Catholic because they're in a Bible study and there's eight people talking and they're all disagreeing about what a Scripture means. And they're all good people with good intentions, but what is the truth? Who is the ultimate arbiter of truth? Jesus didn't just say, "Go build a bunch of, go build a house and do a bunch of additions to it while you're at it, randomly." Jesus said, "I will build my church." He was technon. He was a good builder, and the first thing he structured was the foundation of the apostles, and then the apostles brought us Scripture. And the apostles, the successors of the apostles, the bishops, and the magisterium of the church interpreted these scriptures for us. And again, you need faith and reason, and the catechism is beautiful. Who did St. Augustine love so much? St. Augustine was, of course, very deep in Scripture, but who was the philosopher that he loved? Plato. Augustine loved Plato, and if you read Plato and you read Augustine, you see, oh, yeah, I get that. I really see that. Even Paul, of course, alluded to Plato in some of his writings. He was very much knowledgeable of the Greek poets and the Greek writers. He quoted them. He quoted a poet in Athens, but he alluded to Plato in one of his other scriptures. To us as Catholics, we see the beautiful infusion inspired rationalism of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. So Augustine loved Plato. Who did Aquinas identify with the most? Very interesting. Aquinas loved Aristotle, but Aristotle, the truth of Aristotle, it's very interesting. It had to come from the Greeks and then basically kind of almost through the Muslim world, where there was a lot of, I believe, Jewish scholars that handed down, they were required to I think, write down or translate Aristotle, which came from through North Africa up to Spain, over to Paris, eventually to the great thinkers of that age, the age of Aquinas in the 1100s. So you have to have reason and you have to have faith. They have to go hand in hand. Faith without reason could just be crazy, right? We kind of see that in the Islam world these days. But reason without faith is just emptiness. So faith and reason go hand in hand, and that's why we love the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I've overstayed my welcome, and that is why we need to have the tradition, the teaching of the Catholic Church, to let us understand, help us to all understand what the Scriptures are teaching. I'll let you enjoy the sunrise. Yeah, that question is so hard. I don't know how I could even answer that question without being face to face with you about what happens when a young person dies. And I've never had a child close to me that happen. But those of you who have experienced that can reach out to Tony and talk with him. Aloha, Peter, from the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you guys. Aloha.
Good stuff happens when you support us. at patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure. You get instant access to every radio show, Bear Wozniak Adventure, and our TV episodes, Long Ride Home, the instant we produce them, months before they even air. Plus, we give you all kinds of free stuff, coffee cups, t-shirts, and other things like that. Go to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure and become our patron. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that bell.